deliverer, our peace. He is my all in all. He is my everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Without him, I am nothing. I don't even want to try it without him. Amen. I honestly really don't know how to try it without him. How to do it without him. He's just a part of who I am. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for him this morning. I'm thankful for you guys. Hallelujah. We were honored and blessed to be in Oklahoma with Pastor Valerie Robinson this week for a conference. And my traveling partner, Brooke, was with me. She was awesome. We had a great time together. And so Pastor Valerie sends you greetings. Got a hug from Pastor Valerie. I got a hug from Bishop David. I got a hug from Sandra Garner that I'm supposed to deliver this morning to Mama Hiles. And they send their love to you and their greetings and to this house here. And wanted me to be sure and tell you how much they love you here. So hopefully we'll be seeing some of those in the fall in September, and they'll be coming in. And so it was great to be with them. It was great to be in the fellowship of the saints. It was a time of refreshing and some opportunity to hear the word and just to be in fellowship with folks, and hallelujah. But of all the places I've been, no place I'd rather be than right here with you guys. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean that in any way bad. It's wonderful to go out and travel, but my heart is connected to you guys. And I love you with all my heart. Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Amen. I love the prayer and support behind me. I'd get texts from a couple people, "We're praying for you." I could feel it. And I receive it. I appreciate that. Amen. So it was good. The Lord is good. So I'm thankful for that time of refreshing and thankful for the word. What God is building in this day and this hour. Amen. We've been talking, you know, discipleship. We've been talking difference in being a believer and a convert. We've talked in a disciple, and you know, it's one thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's another thing to be a disciple. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus gave us a mandate and said, "Go and make disciples"? And a disciple is one who is trained, one who sets under apprenticeship, one who is taught, trained, and then sent out, and then in turn teaches and trains and sends out. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the perpetuation of the kingdom. That's how we live in houses and cities that we didn't build. That's how we eat from vineyards that we didn't plant, and that's how we drink from wells that we didn't dig. Hallelujah. How many will we sit here today because somebody went ahead of us and built houses, planted vineyards, and dug wells? Hallelujah. And have become caretakers of what the generations ahead of us have done, and yet there's a mandate on us for what the generations yet to come, hallelujah, can inherit the same type of houses, vineyards, and wells, and even a greater dimension than what we know right now. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. And so that's a mandate, I believe, on this house. I believe it's a mandate on God's people at this time and this season. So you, hallelujah, we'll be hearing that from time to time, and we are hearing that, and hopefully we are operating and demonstrating in that, and God is raising up some voices and people in this house, hallelujah, that have a mandate to do the same thing. And I love that. I love what God is doing. People say, "I don't know what I'm called to do." You ever question that? You ever questioned your calling? Yes? No? All y'all know where you're going? Ever question your calling? "Lord, what am I called to do?" We always talk about, "Well, I don't know what I'm called to do." I'll tell you, I've made that statement before. I don't know, maybe not this week, but I've made that statement, you know, and said, "Lord, what am I called to do? What's my calling?" You know, and, you know, I think sometimes growing up, we think, "Oh, what's my calling? I hope I don't miss my calling. I got to figure out what my calling is." And we think there's like one path, right? You know, we think there's like one thing God's called me to do, and boy, if I don't figure it out soon, I'm just going to miss my calling. How many know the need is the call? Can you hear that? The need is the call. When you see the need, you're called. So my question to you today would be, what are you not called to do? What are we not called to do? Because there is a calling on all of our lives, and the need becomes the call. So that when I see my brother in need, and I shut up my bowels of compassion, where is the love of God? How many know the love of God propels me to do or to minister to what the need is? Amen? Sometimes we can minister to that need in a whole lot of different levels. How many know sometimes it's just by words? It's not even by what you take out of your wallet. It's not what you give out of your cupboard. Sometimes just ministering to the need is seeing an opportunity to sow Christ and sow the goodness of God, the love of God into somebody's life that you just don't know might be world changing. A world changing. Hallelujah. And so the need is the call. I had somebody tell me this week, this person was at a conference that I was at, and he said, I have no idea why I was there. I kept saying, I don't know why I'm here. And he said, I don't even know if you remember this. He said, but the Lord, he said, I called you over and we talked. And he said, the Lord connected you and I. And he said, do you remember what you told me? And I said, yeah, I remember what I told you. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that changed my world. Now, this man is very learned in the scriptures. Not like he got saved because I was talking to him. That's not what he meant at all. He said, but the scripture that you shared with me, he said, I have gone back and developed so many sermons out of that. And he said, literally, it brought a change and a shift in my spirit. And he said, when I left that meeting, he said, the Lord said, that's why you were there. Now, I don't say that this morning to make myself look in any way big. I say that this morning because that makes me go, oh, my goodness. The responsibility of the power of our words and the opportunity that when the need is there, we respond to a need with a call and thinking insignificant 10 minutes, the impact we can have on somebody's world. So never underestimate the power of your ability to meet the need in somebody's life. Now, I say that because obviously this person has been able to pour into my life, you know, and, you know, I'm overwhelmed and awed by the word of God that's in them. And so, but how many know that is the precious power of the kingdom? That is what kingdom is. And I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about nets and networking. I shared this out in Oklahoma, but how many know the church is a network? It's a joining together. It's a woven vehicle that God uses, what? To catch fish. Amen? And so when he shows up on the shore and he begins to speak to the disciples, how many know he's about to transform their world? Hallelujah. He's about to transform their world. But the Lord spoke to me on the lawnmower the other day. And he said, I was doing some yard work and stuff before I left town. And he said, Lisa, you need to mend some nets. I said, okay. What does that mean? You know. And again, we go back to, you know, people say, oh, the Lord doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. If you're listening, he speaks to you. He sounds a whole lot like the voice in your own head that you know is a prompting from the Holy Spirit that's taken your mind someplace it wasn't before. Can I say it like that? I don't know really how to explain it other than there's just sometimes when you go down the road or you're sitting on the lawnmower, the Lord will drop a thought in your spirit and you know this is not just my thoughts. This is a higher thought. The Lord is drawing my attention somewhere, so we start saying, okay, Lord, what are you saying in this? I mean, there's sometimes we need to mend some things that are broken. Sometimes it can be connections that needed to be amended. Sometimes it can be a method or the way we're doing things that needed to be mended. How many know when Jesus calls the disciples in one scripture, and we're going to get to it, they're scrubbing their nets. In another scripture, they're mending their nets. In another scripture, they're casting their nets. Hallelujah. And so we're going to talk about some different kind of nets and things like that. But how many know there are some nets that we need to repair, scrub, or mend? Sometimes there are some nets we need to abandon. And sometimes those can just be as simple as ways we've done things. Amen? Sometimes it can be said the nets we need to abandon sometimes is the way we have done things and thinking there's only one way to do it. You ever tried to do something and I've done things before I can't think of anything in particular, but like simple things. And then somebody else comes along and said, did you ever try to do it like this? And you think, wow, where have you been all my life? Just that simple little, you know, bit of guidance. And you're like, what a great idea. You know, I mean, no, there is more than one way to do something. One of the things I love about traveling is seeing how other folks do things, how they operate. Amen. Friday night after service, they had hot dog heaven, which basically means they had hot dogs and then they had all the fixings, you know, where they call it hot dog heaven. Well, it was fun to just sit around the table and have some communion time. And little Carter Joe was there, Danny and Shannon's little girl. And they said, are they having hot dogs tonight? And we said, yes, they are. She said, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. She was just so excited that they were having hot dogs tonight. That's the way they do things. Amen. And so there is more than one way to do things. Amen. So there are some times there are means of doing things that are effective. They're right. We may not have it all together, and we need to work on those things, right? Yep. There are sometimes some things we just need to abandon and move on, because that's where God is leading us. But how many know a network? He said to me, Lisa, you know, you need to mend the nets. He said, you need to mend networks, the workings of the net, and joining yourself together. How many know we are not an exclusive club? And we don't have it all here. And we don't know it all here. And we don't do it all here. But son, you know, sometimes the Lord will join us together with people. He will network us together. And it's not always networked with just people of your own tribe or people of your own kind. And how many know it's not just what we would call church folk? Ever had a divine encounter? Come on, just that moment when you walk away saying, this wasn't by chance. This didn't happen by accident. Lord, you didn't delay me in Yellowstone National Park from leaving when we wanted to just because of a generator issue. You delayed us because there was a waitress in that restaurant who needed to hear what we had to say that morning. And I needed to hear what she had to say. See, divine encounters aren't always for the other person. Sometimes divine encounters are for you to connect with something or somebody or someone that God wants to spark something in you. I can hear a preacher preach and write down notes of something that they never said. But it sparks something in me where God charges or challenges something in my spirit. It jumps alive to me, and it may just be the way it came out of their mouth. And they might not even have thought it like that, but God will speak something to me, and I'll write that down. Brooke's laughing at me because I'm trying to write down and listen and take notes out there, and I'm misspelling words, and I come back and think, what in the world did that mean? Because I have a one-track mind, and when I try to multitask, sometimes it don't go too well. But how many know it'll spark something in you, and you're trying to hear what the preacher's saying, but yeah, that's just a nugget that's too good not to remember that. You know, so God networks us. He joins us with people. And if you think that only means the person sat beside of you on the pew today, we are missing such a multitude of fish. Let's go to the word this morning. Let's go to the scripture. The first one I want, Luke 5. Start in verse 1 there, Carlin. Go ahead and bring that up. I don't know where all this will go, but we'll just see. Hallelujah. How many know the need is the call? And when we think about discipleship, we say things like, you know, the song says, hear the sounds of the nations calling. Hallelujah. How many know there's a need that calls to you? There's a cry that calls to you, that when you see a need, there's something inside of you says, Lord, do I have something that can meet that need? Do I have something that I can impart? Do I have something that I can show? Help me to be a disciple of your word, Lord, and help me to be a dispenser of the blessings and of the glory that you have brought on my life. Amen. How many know our blessings are not just for ourselves? But we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be dispensers of his glory and of his goodness in our life. Hallelujah. Thank God for people who took a moment for me to just sit down, to give me a little correction, to give me a little encouragement, to give me a little prompt, a little push, you know, of the things of God. I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. It says, once he, when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. How many know there's a crowd pushing in to hear the word of God? How many know there's a crowd pushing in to hear the word of God? He said, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. There's a cry for the hearing of the word. Hallelujah. Now, I joked with them out there. I gave them a little demonstration the other Sunday. The other Wednesday night, Georgia came up to me. She said, Nan, I got a word for tonight. She wanted to preach. I said, okay, you got a word you want to preach? And she said, yeah. So I said, okay, well, you certainly are welcome to do that. And so I figured by the time I got her up front, she would get nervous and she'd forget and she wouldn't do it. She got up there and she stood there and looked at him for a little bit. She just looked around. And the first thing she said is, Jesus got ate by a shark. And we laughed and, you know, it's a start, right? And then I said that maybe she's getting Jonah and the whale mixed up, you know. But then she went on to tell him about the story she'd had in Sunday school about walking around the walls of Jericho and all that kind of stuff to the best she could. And I told him out there in Oklahoma, I said, well, the first sermon she preached, she said Jesus was eaten by a shark. But I have heard worse doctrine in Revelation. I have heard worse from a pulpit from people who are supposed to be learned men and women of God that have used the word and not had an understanding. Amen. I mean, now you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Hallelujah. And be given opportunity. But and I laugh because let me tell you what. Jesus had 3.5 years of Bible school with 12 men, and still at the end of that, they didn't have it all figured out. Come on. The greatest teacher of all time. And Jesus would say to them, boys, have I not been so long with you that you haven't got this yet? He makes statements to Peter like, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And I used to think growing up, that means, Peter, when you get saved, get other people saved, right? Converted, strengthen the brethren. And I'm thinking, after 3.5 years in Bible school with Jesus, is this man ain't saved? I don't know how this, you know, he's telling Peter. But how many know Peter doesn't really get a conversion till after the cross? How many know your conversion comes in the cross? And I don't know that his conversion, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't know that his conversion ever comes to way on into the book of Acts, where God begins to start unveiling and unpeeling some things, and all of a sudden, Peter starts to think, OMG, I get it now. Amen? So I'm okay with if somebody gets up and doesn't have the greatest revelation, says something far out of the box that, we, you know, it's not the way I teach it, not the way I say it, because how many know you got to start somewhere? You got to start somewhere, hallelujah, and be given opportunity. And sometimes we gasp or we get all out of breath if we say, don't sing the right words, or we don't say the right words. How many know if it's all about our words, it's not going to work anyway? Somebody said, do you speak any other languages? I said, no, I do not, and I don't even speak English well. I speak West Virginia. But I told Brooke, I had a prophet prophesy to me one time, and he asked me that question. He said, do you speak more than one language? And that's what I told him. I said, nope, I speak West Virginia. And he said, I didn't think you did. He said, but the Lord told me to tell you that you are trilingual. And he said, I didn't think you spoke more than one language. So he said, here's what I know the Lord is saying to you. He said, what he's saying to you is you are outer court, holy place, and most holy place. That when you speak, God will give you the ability to take people from the outer court to the holy place, to the most holy place. I mean, what God wants to do is set a table from the beginning to the end. Those who are unlearned, who have just started to begin to hear the word, but yet those who have got a great understanding that we somehow can come together and hear a word that will minister to every person in the house. Now, I don't know if I've got this figured out, Lord, but I pray my part in my prayer is, Lord, make us trilingual, that we can begin to speak a language. See, what we've done is they don't speak my language, so I can't network with them. Only my phone is ringing. It's not the people I've been hanging with. Pastors and pastors' wives are saying, you're solid. We need you. I said, what do you think, Lord? Because this ain't my stream. This ain't my tribe, as we say. I'm not sure we're saying the same things, but we're saying enough of the same things. Because, see, it's not about my doctrine. It's not about my theology. It's not even the way I see things. But if it's not about the cross, it will not ever be effective anyway. If it's not about the cross, it's not ever going to be effective anyway. And so my prayer is, and you guys pray for me, Lord, make me trilingual, that I can begin to speak another language that is effective and powerful and life-changing, that can meet you at the altar of sacrifice or can take you into the holy place, a place of His presence and His Spirit and His giftings in us, or take us to a most holy place where we just step totally out of the way and find out it's all about your Shekinah glory, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Hallelujah. That's from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. He's not just saying that to me. The need is the call. And here's what I think's about to happen. You're going to start just running into people. And God's going to start networking. What I mean by that, God's just going to join you to somebody at the grocery store. That person you think is in the line at Walmart that just got behind you by chance. The mechanic who fixes your car. The dentist who works on your teeth. The hairstylist who's fixing your hair. The accountant that's doing your taxes, the massage person that's doing your massage, the nurse that's taking your blood, the doctor that's taking care of you. Come on, somebody. Come on. That little home study Bible group you think you're in just by chance. You might be there for them. They might be there for you. You better have a teachable heart, because every place you go, you can learn something. If nothing else, you can learn what not to do. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me go ahead and read. Once when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. Another said washing their nets. He climbed into their boat, that was whose? Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, sitting there using the boat for a pulpit. I love how it says that. He taught the crowd. Guess what? Jesus can use your boat as a pulpit. Somebody say amen. And I'm talking about a natural boat. He's talking about a natural boat. I preached at camp. I said, find your slingshot. How many know David had to find his slingshot? He's anointed to be king, but all he knows is he's keeping sheep until the need came, because the need is the call. And God took where he was and what he was doing and made that a ministry for the time and for the season. But guess what? That wasn't David's only call. David knew how to use a slingshot, a harp, a basket, a sword, an ephod, a staff. Hallelujah. How many know he sat down and he said, I want to use your boat as a pulpit. I want to use your office as a pulpit. I want to use your station as a pulpit. I want to use your daycare as a pulpit. I want to use your truck as a pulpit. I want to use your classroom as a pulpit. Come on. And so if you're sitting here thinking, I've never been called to do anything, He wants to use where you are to speak out of your life, to connect you. Hallelujah. He didn't even need their net. I don't need your net. Come on, guys, just push out. Go ahead, push out a little bit. Push out into a deeper water. Go to a deeper place. Launch out. King James says, launch out into the deep. Hallelujah. When finished teaching, he said to Simon, push out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. I mean, you know, it's the same nets they're trying to scrub and patch and fix up. So he takes them out on the boat and he said, you need to launch out. How many, somebody in here this morning said, get ready to launch. Come on, you didn't say it. Say, get ready to launch. Come on, get ready to launch. God wants you to step out of a place that's been what you've known up to this point. Because I'm about to take you to another level and you have no idea how to get there. But if you'll go ahead and let me use your boat as a pulpit, I'm going to take you to a place you've not yet discovered. And when I do, I'm going to start speaking in areas of your life that you're going to start to see things happen that you weren't seeing happen before. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Go ahead. Go out into a deep place. Go ahead and get ready to launch. Go ahead and let me use your boat as a pulpit, because if you do, I'm going to show you how to do something you've never done before. Master, we have been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. King James said, we have toiled all the night. Somebody said out there, if being a Christian is too hard, you're doing it wrong. How many know we can enjoy this journey? We can enjoy this journey in Christ. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a performer. There's a difference in being a performer and thinking you have to do things a certain way and walk a certain way and wear your hair a certain way and say the right lingo and know enough scriptures and give enough tithes. I mean, I believe in a lot of those kind of things, but how many know that's not what makes you a Christian? What makes you a Christian is having the life of Christ in you. And he said, I came that I can give you life, and I want to give you that life abundant. I want to give you more than enough life in you, that when you come in contact with death, life jumps out of you and causes life to come alive in somebody else. Yes. Hallelujah. So if you're struggling with it, you're doing it wrong. Hallelujah. Enjoy your journey. Enjoy what God has called you to do where you are until he takes you to another place. They said, Master, we've been working all night. Because we think the kingdom of God comes by our work and our sweat and our labor. Yep. How many know he went to Calvary to break the curse of Adam that was work, sweat, and labor? He sweated for you. He bled for you. Hallelujah. He took the curse of thorns for you upon his head. Hallelujah. You can't do what he did. That's why he did it. Hallelujah. We have toiled all the night, and we haven't even caught a minnow. That's a hard night fishing. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets. Say it another way, but at the sound of your voice. See, there's a difference in doing what you've been doing, even for all the right reasons, and doing what the master says to do. Go ahead and do it again. But this time, at the sound of my voice. Hallelujah. At the sound of my voice, go ahead and cast your nets. It was no sooner said than done, a huge haul of fish straining the nets past capacity. Hallelujah. See, when we ever get it that it's all about the sound of his voice. Launch out into the deep. Try something outside of what you only know. Outside of what's comfortable. Outside of your territory. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. Another one said they waved to their co-workers. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Now, I love this because he didn't just speak to Simon, but he said, I called the other boats who are in the same business I'm in, who have the same calling that I have, who have the same mandate that I have. And I said to them, come and join with me because there's a great multitude of fish. There's a great multitude of fish to be caught. Hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes I think we do more fighting amongst ourselves than that we do fighting together. In our nation right now. How many know till we learn to come together in a unity and quit fighting against each other, because a house divided can't stand. But I'm afraid we have mimicked some of that even in our church houses, where we have fought against people instead of fighting together. We're the only army that fights its own soldiers. Amen? And we fight over silly things. He got in front of me. He cut in the line. He's touching me. I was here first. About 2 weeks I'll be hearing all that, but they're five-year-olds. They're five-year-olds. We get in competition. Am I all right this morning? Are we awake? Are we here? Maybe I'll just preach to me. I'll preach to the choir. But I mean, no, sometimes we get envious. We get jealous. We fight against each other. When we should be cheering them on and say, you go, team. Go, team. You're doing something that I don't have an avenue. You're reaching people I can't reach. And I'm going to reach the people I can reach. And guess what? There's enough fish for all of us. There's enough fish for everybody's boat. Call the team. We're all on the same team. Come on, team co-workers. The other fishermen in the boat. Come on, we can do this together. Yeah. Hallelujah. Families. We can do this together. Churches, we can do this together. Church folk, we can do this together. Hallelujah. We don't need divisions. We need every joint supplying. That's what we're called to do. This is not my ministry. It's not my church. It's not my agenda. It's his. Hallelujah. It's his. And we're just part of that, and we're so privileged to be a part of what God wants to do in our communities, in our homes, in our churches, our world, and our nation. We can sit back and say, man, things is just looking bad. They're looking rough. Times are hard. They're getting worse. Or we can say, you know what? I am salt and light. If the Lord says I'm the righteousness of God, I am. If he says the kingdom belongs to him, it does. I read to the end of the book. It says we win. It says my God is Lord over all things. He's still on plan A. We're not on plan B. But he needs a people that will rise up and believe what the word says. That you were called, you were purposed, you were sent to go and make disciples. Hallelujah. But if we're waiting and watching, we're spectators and not participators. You know how you change your world, change your nation? One person at a time. Hallelujah. Give life to somebody, someone, one way at a time, one person at a time. Start somewhere. Launch. Get ready to launch. Get ready to push out into another area maybe you haven't been in before. But trust God when you get there to speak. And go ahead and cast it again. Go ahead and try it again. I mean, no, nothing beats a failure like a try. We try something that don't work. Say, well, I must not have been called to do that. Jesus probably called some of the greatest fishermen of his time. But you know what he said to him? I didn't call you to be fishermen. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees. I love this verse. Simon Peter, when he saw it, he fell to his knees before Jesus. Master, leave. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. I love how the Message Bible says that. In the King James, it says, Master, depart from me, for I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. And basically, he falls down and says, man, this is the holy dude in the boat. Like, I've never encountered anything like this before. How many know this is their first encounter of Jesus really drawing them into something? The greatest thing you can ever do is say, you know what? This is not about me. There's something holy going on here. There's something divine going on here. There's something supernatural going on here. There is something outside of my realm of thinking, something outside of my my mindset that's happening here, and it's all God. It's not me. Master, leave my presence. I'm a sinner, and I can't handle this holiness. Because it makes me reflect on my ability to do something. How many know it wasn't about Peter's ability to do anything? It was all about God's ability to do it in Peter. And you know, sometimes it's not even about our faith. Don't throw anything at me. But it's more about his faith in me. See, even when I don't have faith in him, he still has faith in me. And I said this the other day, even if you don't believe in God, he still believes in you. And his belief in you is more powerful than your unbelief in him. The man came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Because right now, my unbelief meter is right here. And my belief meter is right here. Lord, just help me to believe. Help me to be a believer. Thank you, Ron. Hallelujah. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. Hallelujah. Is there one more? I think I have one more verse. Maybe go ahead. When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with them. Hallelujah. When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, there's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women. They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. How many know sometimes you got to abandon your old ways? You got to park the boat. You got to leave those nets. And you got to move on. He said, see, I'm giving you an object lesson. I'm giving you a picture here, but really what I'm doing is calling you to something higher. I'm calling you to something bigger. He goes over, and I won't cover all the scriptures this morning. I'm running out of time. But just sharing my heart with you this morning. And sometimes we got to quit scrubbing and mending nets that are not producing anything, that are not productive. What they were doing wasn't producing anything, but what Jesus was speaking was a new direction. One of the most dangerous things you can do is get locked into only one way of doing things. We have scrubbed a net or a church system and still trying to fix up an old system that wasn't working. God said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. I'm about to do a new thing. Now, I really believe God is demonstrating to them, not even just making them fishers of men, calling them into ministry, but he's switching them from an old covenant mindset to a new covenant mindset. Because then he goes on and, let me back up. Sometimes we got to mend or repair the breaches or the networks. The kingdom is a corporate net. Hallelujah. But sometimes the nets or the methods are changing. How many know church has changed as we've known it? And what we need to do is use our boats, our skills, or our area of influence as a platform. Let me use your boat as a platform. See, we get all nervous if we come in, the sound system doesn't work right, the air conditioner's not working like it needs to, the PayPal won't come up, the, you know, whatever. We get frustrated over those kind of things, right? You know, you all don't, because hopefully you don't know it half the time, but I'm like, I'm trying to get better. But you know what? God was just as effective when we had a little old building out in the yard, an outhouse out back, and we still had church. Jesus never used an iPad. He never used a projector. Really never had a worship team. The gospel was still just as effective. It still works. Let me know the face of church as we see it or as we know it, it's changed a lot. We now have the ability to have the same word you're hearing to all over the world in a matter of hours. That's powerful. I mean, God wants to use where you are right here and right now, your area of influence as a platform. I want to use your boat as a platform. Hallelujah. So he's shifting them, I believe, from an old covenant mindset to a new covenant mindset. Matthew 4:18-22 says, again in the Message, walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon, see, I believe God can use the beach as your platform. And somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I believe God can use the beach as your platform, your pulpit. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their fish nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and as they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. How many know there's some things you need to leave behind? At the sound of his voice. And move on. Amen. It's not about our programs is what makes church. It's about his presence. Hallelujah. But he calls them. And so he's called fishermen. And so, real quickly, I'm going to try to tie this all in together. But in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives lots of parables. If you ever really want to study a study, study parables. It's like the sermon that never ends. It's just like, goes on and on, my friends. You know, some people started singing it, and now you all know that song stuck in your head, right? It's the everlasting gospel. It's just everlasting and everlasting. It's a deep study. It really is. Because really what you have to do is go back and realize that Jesus is talking to a Jewish culture mindset. And so he's trying to transition them from an old covenant to a new covenant, from an Old Testament to a New Testament, from the blood of bulls and goats to the blood of the cross. We know all of that. And so what he does is he takes fishermen and he says to them, hey guys, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that a fisherman that a man cast into the sea, and he brings it in, he draws in all manner of fish. And he said, and then he sorts out the good from the bad. Hallelujah. And goes on to say, and how he deals with the good and the bad, and he burns with everlasting fire. Aren't you glad that God is a consuming fire? Hallelujah. And there was a consuming fire in 70 AD. We know that also. But what he says here, that's the only place that I know of in the scripture where the word net is different. Because what the fishermen would have used was a casting net. They would cast a net out of the boat, and it would go down to a certain level, but it would catch the fish that are on the top of the water. Any fishermen in here, you know what I'm talking about. There are different kinds of fish in the sea, right? But what he says on this one, the Amplified calls it a drag net, a seine net, a seine or seine, seine net. It's a seine net, and the purpose of a drag net was to go down deep. It would go to the bottom of the sea. It would go down to the depths. Now, you have to realize that the bottom feeders are not clean. They're the unclean fish. They're not kosher. They're not cultured. They would not have been approved to catch. And Jesus said, but the kingdom, it's not just about who you think's going to get in. The kingdom is going to go to the bottom feeders. It's going to go to what you think is unclean. How many of Jesus went to the publicans, the harlots, and the sinner, and the biggest thing he got himself in trouble for was that this man hangs out with the wrong crowd. But the difference is when Jesus walks into the room, he didn't say, man, I want to be like this crowd. I'm going to fit in here today. I'm going to be one of the in crowd. When he left the room, they said, man, I want to be like him. There's something about me. There's something about him that makes Zacchaeus stand up and see, you know what? I've been doing this wrong. If I've been robbing from anybody, I'm going to give it back. If I've been taking too much, I'm going to fix it. There's something about being in the presence of this man that changed me. And the scripture doesn't tell us that he did anything other than eat with Zacchaeus. See, his presence changes you. How many know Jesus came to the bottom feeders? He said, he came into his own and his own received him not, but to many as received him gave he power, what? To become the sons of God. You receive power to become the sons of God. And why we are disqualifying those who we think that are unclean, we think that don't have a purpose, that don't have a place, what you'll find out is the kingdom is like a pearl that a man finds, and when he finds it, he sells out to everything that he is. And he purchases that field. How many know Jesus sold out everything that he was to purchase that field? Because he found value in an oyster in the bottom of the sea. Hallelujah. And those that we've disqualified, he said, that's not what the kingdom looks like. So he gives them a picture. But I don't still think they get it. 3 years of Bible school, haven't got it yet. Meets up with Peter after the resurrection. Meets him on the shore. Hey, guys, did you catch anything? Nope. Why not? Because you can't go back. I never called you to be a fisherman. I called you to be a fisher of men. And so what happens in our confusion, and sometimes in our trying to figure out how to get from there, to navigate these new waters, this new covenant, this finished work, the power of the cross, if we're not careful, we'll go back to what used to be comfortable and what we understood instead of challenging us to go forward to what he's already propelled us to do. So he said, did you catch anything? They said, nope. Because what we do in our own human strength never produces what the kingdom is. So he said, well, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And they catch fish. Jesus is not trying to boost the commerce of Peter for the day. Has nothing about the catch. Only I does think it has something to do with the catch, but I'm still working on that. Because he says there's 153. That bugs me. I got to figure that out. But anyway, he brings in a certain amount of fish. But look, what he's doing here is not saying, okay, Peter, I'm gonna increase your business. I'm going to bless your company. I'm going to bless your fishing boat. That was the farthest thing from the point of Jesus. What he's trying to get Peter to do is remember the day, Peter, the first encounter we had when I spoke and fish came. That's what I've called you to do. You think you've blown it? Days ago before the cross, you think you've blown it. You haven't blown it. You just haven't. He said to Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When's Peter get a conversion? Number one, he gets it when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Because if you love me, you'll love sheep. You'll love humanity. You'll love what I called you to do. You'll operate out of a place of love and not law. Secondly, he gets him on the day of Pentecost. In the upper room, the Holy Spirit comes. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, catches 3,000 fish. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a successful meeting. When you're converted, how many know the Holy Spirit brings conversion in us? It transforms. That word conversion, one of the definitions or translations of that is metamorphosis. It changes us. And so on the day of Pentecost, we don't see the same Peter that we met on the boat in the beginning. We see a man who's had a change, a metamorphosis, because the Holy Spirit has come, and now he stands up and he catches 3,000 fish on the day of Pentecost. That's pretty good conversion. Pretty popular conference. Great meeting. Probably make the newspapers, but he's not done yet. I'm closing with this. He's not done yet because God's about to take him to the real net that he wants him to see. And so while he's up on top of the roof and he's hungry, he has a vision. And in the vision, he sees all kinds of unclean things on a sheet or a net with four corners. That same net has four corners, and so that when they would draw it, it would bring it up like a sack of fish. And every fish that was in there was caught and in the net. And he said he put out this sheet with four corners, and on it there was every sort of unclean animal on that sheet. And he says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Well, not so, Lord. You know that I'm a good Jewish boy, and I have never eaten anything that's uncommon or unclean. Well, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you just in the most holy place? You finally got this figured out after all these years, Peter. And what the Lord says, he shows him the vision again. He said, don't you call anything I have called common or unclean. Everything I've called clean, common or unclean. How many know we don't get to make the judgment call? There's a whole lot of people in my life that I thought would never make it. But they did. Thank God that he found a pearl in a field one day with some bottom feeders and said, you know what, I think I can make something out of that. I think I can make something out of that. And so what he does is he sends him, long story short, Gentiles knock on his door. They send him down to the house of Cornelius. He goes down to the house of Cornelius and he casts out his net and he starts to preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, that 3.5 years of Bible school kicks in, powered by the Holy Spirit and the voice that starts to speak to him. He casts a net in the house of Cornelius. And all of a sudden, they become what? Believers. They're converted and they become disciples because he said, oh my goodness, now that I've preached to them, they've got saved, the Holy Ghost fell on them. I thought we had to save them, baptize them, then get the Holy Ghost. We got them saved, they got the Holy Ghost, now we got to baptize them, and I haven't got this thing all figured out, but thank God he does. And so the Holy Ghost falls on the bottom feeders, the unclean. He said, the first thing he says to Cornelius when he goes to the house, you know, it's not right for the Jewish for me to come into the house of a Gentile, me being a Jew. That's what he tells them. This isn't kosher. Yep. And so what he does is, he's like, I'm not really sure why I'm here, but God sent me. He sent you to me, he sent me to you, and he said, I'm just going to preach Christ. And what he does is preach the work of the cross and what he witnessed, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus in the great commands. And when he preaches Jesus, the Holy Ghost falls. And when the Holy Ghost falls, God changes the life. Now he goes back to the Jewish council and he said, Peter, what in the world are you doing? Going down to the house of the Gentiles, those who are unclean, those who are bottom feeders, and what are you doing down there? He said, all I know to tell you is God sent me to the house of Cornelius, and when I opened my mouth and preached Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell, and now the Holy Ghost has come not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile, because Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, whosoever. Guess what? Peter got converted because it switched him from an old covenant, a law-based mindset, an exclusive club to the whosoever will may come. And the kingdom of heaven is like a net that encompasses every kind of fish. Sometimes they don't look like you. Sometimes they don't talk like you. See, I believe they spoke in another tongue. On the day of Pentecost, another language. I believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the evidence of tongues. But what I also believe the Holy Ghost, it said that those that were in the upper room with him, they heard them speak and understood what they said. Here's my prayer today, that the Holy Ghost will give us a language that when we speak, others will understand what the Holy Spirit is about to do. Is that all right?
Yes, it is.
That we start our mouth, Lord, take a coal from the fire and purge my lips, that everything that passes through my lips has crossed through the fire of your Holy Spirit, that what I speak is life-giving. And not only, because it doesn't matter what I say to you, if you don't understand me, it's not going to have an impact like it should. But if I can speak a language that you understand in your language, I mean, no, I don't speak everybody's language. People say things and I think I don't even have a clue what that means. Because they speak a different language than me. Sometimes I don't speak teenager. Sometimes I don't speak 2-year-old.
Amen.
I don't get that language. Sometimes I don't speak men's language. Sometimes they don't speak mine. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. My husband will say, honey, just say what you mean because I'm not going to figure it out. Like, if you think you're talking in code and give me hints and I'm going to get it, I'm not. Are you mad at me? Nope. We need to learn to speak their language. Amen. You'd be amazed what you could find out if you just sit down and talk to people. Yep. My buddy Gabe was at Oklahoma. Those of you who knew who I'm talking about. I just like to have a moment just sit down and talk with him.
Yep.
He tells me things. He's saying he's alive out there while we were there. Mm. I can't sit still. It's not the words he's saying. It's the work of God that is in the life of that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who was diagnosed with a disability of autism, just graduated with 2 degrees from college.
Yep.
And graphic design and web design, I believe it is. I said, Gabe, what you drawing, buddy? He said, oh, just drawing some superheroes. You know, he's a superhero fan. Just drawing some superheroes. I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to turn my dad's next book into a graphic novel. And I'm really excited about that, he told me. I said, you know what, buddy? I'm really excited about that, too. Because that's one book I'll buy. Give me a language, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Season my speech. Because if all of us pray that same prayer, language I don't speak, you might speak. Courtney, you speak a language I don't speak. Lord, Lord, sweet Jesus, don't try to speak mine. Speak your own, girl.
Yes, sir.
You speak the language he put in you.
Yes.
Brooke, you speak your language. We had an awesome time together. God's doing big things in you. Joe, you speak a language I don't speak. You have a realm of influence I don't have. Your fish, your pulpit may not look like mine. But if you'll listen for the sound of his voice, at the sound of his voice, he's setting you up. It's a setup. It's a setup. He's setting you up. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. Open your eyes. Open your ears to what God wants to say and do in and through you. And you just may find out that what used to be your pulpit or what you thought had to be a pulpit, God's about to cause you to operate in another atmosphere, another circumstance, another opportunity, another door, a different way. Hallelujah.
I've been able to show the pictures of my truck to people and to tell them that I'm here because of God's grace.
Amen.
And that's the only reason I'm here. So you helped me realize that this morning.
You use that pulpit where you're at right here, right now. Amen. And that don't have to be your only platform, only your pulpit, but use it. Absolutely. I believe that. I believe, hallelujah, the hand of God on your life, RC. There's a stirring taking place in your heart, even in all of this. And you're feeling things you've never felt before. But God's stirring up some things. There's giftings in you. Hallelujah. Just listen for his voice. Trust what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? If you do, go ahead and grab it for yourself. Go ahead and take a hold of that. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take a hold of that. Amy, there's giftings in you that you have no idea. There are giftings in you that you have no idea. It may cause you to leave some nets, and by that I mean some mindsets even. I'm not even talking about geographic, I'm not talking about, but there may be some mindsets that God wants to take you away from. It's not that they've been bad necessarily, but they're now unproductive to where he wants to take you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what happens is we have those moments where we have that encounter with him where he just sits down in the middle of our boat and says, let me just use you for a platform right now. Let me use you for a pulpit. But I declare unto you right now, woman of God, that if you will trust the voice of God inside of you and say, I'm willing to leave some nets. I'm willing to leave some things that have been unproductive. I'm a quick trying to scrub and repair what used to be. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust you, God, to take me to levels and places that I've never been. Hallelujah. He has the power and the ability to do that. I preached a message one time about Georgia, and I made her a cape. And when she would try to run with it, it wouldn't flow. She thought it would fly like Elsa's did. But what happened, she would turn and she'd try to watch that cape, and every time she did it, it wouldn't fly. Finally, I said to her, baby, that cape is never going to fly until you quit turning around and looking back. Because as long as you're turning around looking back, you're not running forward. But if you'll go ahead and run, you'll see that cape fly. As a matter of fact, if it don't fly on its own, I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold that cape until it flies. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do if we want to fly is quit looking back at what we think should be happening and just keep our eyes focused on what God wants to do. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to pray over your life right now. Say, God, I just trust you to sit down in the middle of her boat and make her boat a platform, a pulpit of your glory, because there are too many pearls hid in that field that you already paid for. There are too many treasures in that chest to not be revealed. And I paid for that field. I sold out everything that I had to buy that field. Hallelujah. Quit thinking of yourself as a bottom feeder and quit thinking of the pearl and the value that somebody found in that oyster and said, there's value in that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This love is so deep.
Oh, yes, it is.
More than I can say.
Hallelujah.
I'm out in your peace. It's overwhelming.
If there's anybody in here that needs special prayer, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, and you want to come forward to the altar, we'd be glad to pray for you. Today's just as good of any day to let Jesus sit down on your boat. Hallelujah. To come into the midst of your life and do something miraculous. Go ahead and raise your hands and receive it. You can receive it right where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'm out in your peace. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet. The cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I'm out in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more. Your feet drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Feet, drink from the cup in your hand. Lay so deep.
Anybody else?
It's more than I can stand. I'm out in your peace. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet. So deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Thank you for your overwhelming peace, Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. We thank you for the overwhelming peace of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All the children, come and minister to us this morning. Hallelujah. Go sing. Go sing first, then you get your basket.
Do you remember, Charlotte, what ours was? About a woman named? We spelled it on the board.
She spelled it?
And she lived in a town called?